Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are as we gather on Trinity and Peace with Justice Sunday. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship together. A reminder that we have a Tuesday night Bible study open to anyone. We meet via Zoom. That information is distributed every Tuesday via the church email list. And if you are not on that or have not been getting that or would like to get that Zoom info, please reach out to myself or the office and we can get it to you. Our Wednesday night meals continue. They are being served from 5:30 until 6:30. And they are drive-through only. So please note if you come that you cannot come in the building. The food pantry is again open. It meets. They distribute food the first Monday. The first Monday at 11 in the morning, I believe, and the third Wednesday from 4:30 to 5:30. They are there, and if you need any more info or need to get in touch with them, please contact the office. Finally, please note that we continue our work of discerning when we will be able to gather in person again. We have a team that is working to make sure we consider all of the items and issues that would need to be addressed so that we could gather safely. And we will keep you in the loop as we engage in our discernments and as we make those decisions, because we know that we long to be together in fellowship again, but that we also know when the Holy Spirit is with and uniting us together, it does not matter where we are located, only that we are centered in the Spirit that calls us together. Let us now hear our prelude and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. Please join me in the call to worship. Why are we looking up to heaven? Christ has come. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Why are we looking ahead to the future? The Holy Spirit is among us now. In our baptism, we have already died and risen with Christ. Why are we afraid of death and dying. God's love casts out our fear. Why are we afraid to follow Jesus? In Christ, we have the promise of new life now, eternal life to come. In Christ, we join our hearts to worship God, who has prepared for us to enter the reign of God. Amen.
And land, redeem your whole creation with your almighty hand. Where hate and fear divide us and bitter threats are hurled, in love and mercy guide us and heal our strife-torn world. From search for wealth and power and scorn of truth and right, from trust in bombs that shower destruction through the night, from pride of race and station and blindness to your way, deliver every nation. Eternal God, we pray. Lord, strengthen all who labor, that all may find release from fear of rattling saber, from dread of war's increase. When hope and courage falter, Lord, let your voice be heard. Servants undergird. Keep bright in us the vision of days when war shall cease, when hatred and division give way to love and peace. Till dawns the morning glorious when truth and justice reign, and Christ shall rule victorious o'er all the world's domain.
We gather now for our time of prayer, and as we do so, let us engage in our unison prayer. You call us to be your light in the darkness, your voice in the wilderness, your hope for the hopeless. You give us strength in our weakness, peace and gentleness, words and boldness to proclaim more of you and less, and of us less. Amen. Now let us pause and offer up the prayers of our hearts, our minds, and our souls to God silently as we use music and silence to engage in a time of prayerful reflection.
Thank you.
Lord, we gather this morning and we lift up to you many things. We lift up our world, the chaos and turmoil that threatens to overwhelm all that we know. We lift up those who are struggling with loss, with oppression, with repression. We lift up those who love you. We lift up those who do not know you. We lift up our siblings in Christ and our siblings in humanity who are suffering and struggling. Today we celebrate both the Trinity, that holy mystery that binds you and combines you with us and for us. And we also celebrate and remember that it is Peace with Justice Sunday. Lord, we recognize that without justice, there can be no peace. We recognize that we need to be and are called to be a people of peace above all things. We are to be a justice people. Lord, be with us as we walk in our daily journey. Be with us as we seek to discern hard questions and hard truths in our lives and in our midst. Help guide us on our journey as you guided us before and will guide us in the future. Your Holy Spirit comes in among us and is with us each and every day. Your Son provided for us guidance, teaching, and wisdom. And you have a plan, even if we do not know how we fit into every facet of that plan. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use us as you would. Lift us up to be more because you love us so. And when our words fail us, when the world seems crazy and hope seems lost, may we turn to those words that your Son gave us as our foundation and our rock, and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Sent out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Sent out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is ours to do, to set it really free. Oh, help us to obey and carry out your will.
Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. I've learned a great deal from a lot of relationships in my family that I've talked about over the past few weeks. But I have also learned a lot about relationships and about faith and about pastoring from my wife. And so today, I wanted to talk and weave in this theme of lessons that I've learned from my wife. Now, today, as I said earlier, we are celebrating Trinity Sunday. The Trinity is this divine mystery for us in the church. It is the fact that God is three in one, the same and inseparable and yet distinct. We have God, the Father, the Mother, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Parent. We have Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. All of them interwoven together, same and not the same. They signify for us a divine relationship that all of us embody as well. We are all somewhat different from each other, and yet we are all bound together. We are all the same at the same time. We cannot separate ourselves from our siblings and say, they are different than me. I have no need of them. And yet at the same time, we cannot cast aside the differences of our siblings and say, they don't matter because it's something we don't have in common. Therefore, let's get rid of it and focus only on that which we have in common. The difficulty is that we must simultaneously, as the body of Christ, recognize and reconcile our differences and our similarities, our uniqueness and our corporateness, our individuality, and our combination in the body of Christ. And it may seem a daunting and impossible task. And it is one that I struggle with. And this is one of the first lessons I've learned from my wife, is the importance of asking the question, but aren't you supposed to? Now, unfortunately for my wife, she often has to hear me gripe about things. Now, that's a two-way street, obviously. In relationships, often we find that person that we trust, whom we can share things with, whether they be positive or negative. And so she gets the honor, or perhaps the burden, of listening to me gripe, just as I get to listen to her gripe and we dialogue about those things. And sometimes in the course of that, I will comment on a myriad of things taking place in the world, in the church, in our lives, in our society. And then I will make some kind of a comment like, I hate this person. I can't stand this person. And she will say, but you're a Christian. Aren't you supposed to love everybody? Aren't you supposed to listen to everybody? Aren't you supposed to? It is a question that I have grown to expect, though not to enjoy. And I think that's an important distinction. We should all ask ourselves that question anytime we make a statement that separates some from the body and puts us in the category of righteous and puts them in the category of unrighteous. We should always ask ourselves, but aren't we supposed to see and hope and long for the good in that person? Aren't we supposed to listen to that person? Aren't we supposed to hope that they are reconcilable despite their shortcomings, especially in the fact that we ourselves have shortcomings? This is tough. It is tough. And I struggle with this. Today is also Peace with Justice Sunday, a Sunday that challenges us to remember that one of our callings as Christians is to be a people of peace. That is one of our Advent candles. Light one candle for peace. One bright candle for peace. Something that we say we desire and we hope that we bring into the world is peace. And yet we recognize that without justice there can be no peace. If we live in an unjust world, there cannot be peace in the world, for injustice creates chaos amongst the body. Now, the justice that I'm talking about is not a man-made legal system, but a moral system that all of us have and should listen to, but often choose to ignore. It is the voice that says to us, this is wrong. And we recognize that often we put ourselves before that voice. It is a voice that says striking violence against those who are peaceful, who are standing up against injustice, is wrong, and we shall not do that. It is a voice that says Black Lives Matter. It is a voice that says for too long has the foundation of this country been built on injustice. We cannot have peace without justice. We cannot be the body of Christ if we do not listen to all of the body, but we need not give everyone in the body a blanket platform to spread whatever they want to say. This is also part of that balance of relationship that we have to strike. The reality that sometimes people do have to be told, no, you can't do that. No, you can't say that. It's wrong. We do not have to give you platform to spread your hate and injustice. Christ sends the disciples. He commissions and sends the disciples to create disciples of the world. He doesn't say, go forth and make Christians of the world. He says, go forth and make disciples of the world. This is an important distinction because being a disciple is something that we do. It's something that we live. It becomes part of who we are. When we are a disciple of Christ, we cannot help but live it in our lives. You can be a Christian and not be a disciple. You can be one who claims to follow Christ, but who does not live it in your life. And I would argue that you are still a Christian if you claim Christ, but that if you are not so full of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that you live that in the world, you are not a disciple. And we are not about the business of making Christians in the church. We are about the work of making disciples in the world. Christians cannot transform the world, my friends. Christians cannot fix all of our problems. Disciples, those who are attuned to the work of the Spirit, those who ask themselves tough questions, shouldn't we? Those who live faith because they cannot live any other way than faithful are disciples. Those are the people that work to make change in our world. Nobody said being a disciple is easy. Christ did not say, go make disciples and tell them it's real easy to be a disciple. He simply said, go. And so too, we are challenged to take on this mantle of discipleship. To recognize that there is more to who we are and who we are called to be than simply saying, I am this. As Methodists, as people of Pentecost, we are to be a people who are so full of Spirit that we cannot help but notice where God is working in the world right now, and we are called to join in that work. We cannot help but notice. When God breaks into the world, when the Holy Spirit flows through us, and the teaching of Christ lifts us up and says, this is the time, this is the place, this is the moment. My wife is so good at challenging me to think through things. She challenges me constantly to think, to look at things from a new perspective, to ask myself if I am being a disciple. And I don't always like the answer that I get, because the answer many times is no, that I am not living that way. Because I've let hate and anger and hurt take root in my heart. We are called to resist injustice and evil and oppression in whatever form it presents itself, whether it be blatant or subtle and systemic. We are bound together in an unbreakable way. Though we may not all like that, and some of us may try and break that, we cannot. We are a people who call for justice and strive for peace. As disciples, we are people who say that peace is who we are, that violence is not okay ever. We are a people of peace. We are not a people of anger. We are to be disciples who are attuned to the work of the Spirit and who follow its guidance. That we would do what we do out of faith and righteousness, not out of misguided self-importance and hate. So may we today remember that we are called to ask ourselves tough questions, to be in covenant discipleship with one another, that we would ask each other those tough questions and challenge each other to grow, to remember that without accountability, there can be no growth. There can be no movement forward. This past week, on Tuesday, I reached out to a leader of the church and I said, I forgot about the Wednesday night meal and I don't have someone to cook and lead this week. Can you take this on? I know it's tomorrow. And she said that she would, but then she said, Pastor, I think you've got too much on your plate. You need to let this one go. Put someone else in charge of this. She held me accountable in my shortcoming. If we do not have accountability, we cannot be a disciple. If we are a person who lives without accountability, we are not a disciple of Christ. We may be a Christian, but we are not a disciple, and we are not called to be Christians. We are called to be disciples. And if we do not allow anyone to hold us accountable, then we have failed in our quest for discipleship. So may we be a covenant community that holds one another up and that challenges one another. May we know that we are bound together in an unbreakable way that both unifies us but also celebrates our differences simultaneously. May we know that this is difficult but not impossible. May we know that God gives us the power and the ability and the authority through the gift of the Holy Spirit to do this hard work of discipleship and of seeking peace and justice and relationship. And may we, in all that we do, seek out right in the face of wrong, knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide us in that way. And that our siblings in Christ will help us refine ourselves and our calling as we join in that work. So as you prepare to go back out into this world and forward, hopefully, in your journey of faith, may you Seek out those who will hold you accountable and who will challenge you to grow. May you remember to both ask and be asked tough questions. And above all, remember that you are called to assume the mantle of discipleship. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn.
Of all the Spirit's gifts to me, I pray that I may never cease to take and treasure most these three: love, joy, and peace. The Spirit shows me love's the root of every gift sent from above, of every flower, of every fruit, that God is love. The Spirit shows if I possess a love no evil can destroy, however great is my distress, then this is his joy. Though what's ahead is me, mystery, and life itself is ours on lease. Each day the Spirit says to me, go forth in peace. We go in peace, but made aware that in a needy world like this, our clearest purpose is to share love, joy, and peace.
As we prepare for our time of offertory, I am in what is perhaps not the most exciting part of our church, but is a place where for many of us, and especially right now, most of our discipleship and our ministry seems, and our mission seems to be focused. I'm in the kitchen, down here in the fellowship hall. If you are feeling called to serve, please reach out to us that we could find a way to get you plugged in during this time. If you want to offer yourself and your service to God through this outpost here at Hope United Methodist Church, we have opportunities if you are willing. So as we come now for this time of offertory, and as we give ourselves and our gifts and our offerings to God, we do so right now wherever we are, knowing that God uses us where we are and where we can go, whether that's the basement of a church, in the kitchen, our own kitchen at home, our backyard, supermarket, at work, or wherever we find ourselves. So now let us have a time of silent reflection as we place our gifts and our offerings spiritually and digitally and physically before God. Now, if you would stand as you are able, let us join in our doxology. Join me in our unison prayer. Lord, we place much upon the altar for you. But most of all, we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity. As we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples, may we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. As we prepare now to go back into the journey, may you know that God is with you. The Holy Spirit flows through you. Christ goes before you to pave the way. May you know that this journey of discipleship is always, for everyone, ongoing. And that in every step, God is with us. Today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next year, God will be with us as we undertake the journey of discipleship in all of our lives. Now let us join in our benediction response.
Till we meet again, neath the swing secure.